Welcome to For the Health of It, an intimate look at public health in Cowley County, Kansas. Join us as we discuss topics that are impacting public health in our community and learn about what we do at your local health department. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of For the Health of It, Cowley County. This is Tom Langer, the administrator at the health department, once again with you as host, and with me as always is my assistant, Allie. Allie, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, we've got a great show laid up for today, because today's topic is really one that resonates a lot with a lot of folks, because it deals with a really serious situation and something that is not just a public health issue, but a mental health issue and a physical health issue and a law enforcement issue, and that is suicide prevention, specifically in our teenage and younger age groups. And so with us today, we have a number of guests, and we're going to go around the table, and they're going to each be able to say hi and introduce themselves. And I'm going to start with the person in the room that I have known the longest, which is Eric Burr, who was the past police chief, and you've been a long time law enforcement officer. When did we first meet? I think you were, I don't know if it was 9 years ago, if you were out at the high school or not, or if you were a resource officer in Arc City at the time, but it seems like it. It seems like every time I remember us doing something, that you would be there. And I'm glad you're here today. So tell us a little bit, Eric, about how you became involved in suicide prevention and specifically the organization we're going to talk about today, which is the Hope Squad.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for having me. We have known each other for a long time. Just
been
being involved in community events. And so I did have that long career at Arc City Police Department. I think all totaled law enforcement experience, almost 29 years. And it just kind of flashes by so quickly. It's amazing. Last 2.5, I had the opportunity to serve as the police chief. That was just an incredible experience because I was able to really focus in on some areas. One of those areas that we're talking about today is suicide prevention, especially when it pertains to our youth in Cowley County. So it really kind of all started back probably the end of 2020. We noticed that there was just a tragic trend of losing teens to suicide. And so at the time, we kind of got together with some of our community partners and decided to put a coalition together. So that's kind of where the Suicide Prevention of Cowley County Coalition came in, was at that point. And we just reached out to just a lot of people in Cowley County. We noticed that there was a huge need. People really responded to that. And so through the coalition work, we actually started talking about Hope Squad. And we'll dig a little bit more into that here in just a little bit.
We will, because I want to make sure we bring the other people in on the conversation right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Across the table from me is a person who I have never met until this afternoon. Do you go by Jenny or Jennifer?
Jenny.
Jenny. Jenny Bader. Tell me what you do.
I teach English at Winfield High School.
Okay. How did you become involved with 465's chapter of Hope Squad?
Well, it really starts for me, a little bit before that. I started teaching at Winfield 7 years ago, and I noticed pretty quickly that I had a lot of students who struggled with depression and with suicidal ideation, and a number of them wrote, I'm an English teacher, so they would write in their journals and their writing assignments, they would write a lot about that. Some of them would come and talk to me, and several of them in our creative writing club mentioned that they would like to have some kind of peer-to-peer mentoring, some kind of mental health support. And so when this became available, I was definitely interested.
That's cool. I mean, I'm glad, so very glad that you are. And then the third person we have with us today, I swear I probably have neckties older than this young man, but I am so glad that you are here. Your name is Mason?
Yep.
Last name?
Mason Burr.
Burr. Any relation to the guy next to you?
A little bit.
Just a little bit. You weren't coerced into being here, were you?
Oh, no.
Oh, good, good.
Quite the opposite, actually.
Oh, wonderful. And Mason, tell us a little bit. What motivated you to become involved, or are you involved, and how so with Hope Squad?
So actually what motivated me to join Hope Squad is just because I just think it's just so tragic that we kind of, as a society, has like gone away from trying to help people. And so being able to join Hope Squad and have it like readily available for us, I think that's definitely a step forward for us as like a community, high school, and just as a world in general. And I joined Hope Squad because I just feel like I can help people through that way.
Awesome. We're thrilled that you did, and we're glad that you're here. And I'm going to turn to Allie, and I'm going to say, Allie, do you remember when we went to Governor's Public Health Conference?
Yes.
Not too long ago. And this kind of mirrors, Eric, what you were talking about. It was 2019, I think it was. It was in the spring or fall, or maybe even the summer of 19. We had just come through the springtime, and we had in about a six-month time period, we had, I think, six or seven suicides in the county. Not just Ark City, but throughout the entire county. And you and I even talked about this, Eric. We had a kind of a similar experience in talking with a parent where they're like, we've got to do something. And I was like, I have no idea what to do, because it had never landed on my desk before. And do you remember what happened after that, Allie, when we went to the deals and I stood up and I asked the other health departments in the state, I said, are we a freaky thing in Cowley County where we're having this many of them? And do you guys do anything? And, you know, do you remember?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the answer was that we were not an anomaly, and it is a problem that is widespread.
And out of that, believe it or not, there was a group from WSU at the conference, and they were taking notes. And then, of course, 6 months later, the world changed forever. And not that suicide prevention wasn't still a thing that needed to do, but our whole focus at the health department changed dramatically. And I never really thought a whole lot about what was going on, but in the background, they were working on these things during the time of the pandemic, looking at the state or organizing statewide coalitions, probably a lot of which you've been in part of. And then it was after everything happened again, we went back to the same conference, and I'm sitting in the audience because they had a session about, you know, teen suicide, and in that room that day was probably about 50, 60 people, and they started telling a story about a guy who stood up at a conference and asked the question, and I'm like, they're talking about me, you know, and how it all percolated down. So in reality, what we're seeing with a lot of this is the how people will have that bad experience, and we were like not afraid to speak out and say, hey, we don't know what to do next, and started looking for help. And at the same time, you were having that question, and you found the Hope Squad, because that's how we found. I know later on, you and I talked about that, Eric, and we discovered this, and you started it locally. And I want you to kind of go back and explain that journey and how it all began. Did it start in Ark City first?
Yeah, so it actually started with Ark City High School and Middle School, Winfield High School, and Cowley College. We're all at the same time, so that 2022-2023 school year. So to kind of go back a little bit before that, you know, we as a coalition were having discussions about what can we do? How do we reach students? And school-based programs seem to be what we needed to focus on. And so, you know, we looked at a couple programs, and Hope Squad just kept coming to the forefront. It's a program that came out of Utah. It'd been around since about 2003. At the time, at the 2022-2023 school year, I think that every state had at least one program, but about seven, if I remember correctly. And so we looked at it. We really liked it. We hopped on a Zoom call with the CEO, Greg Hudnall, had a conversation with him and the superintendent down in Ark City, and it just kind of flourished from there. We ended up going to the school board, explaining the program to them as well, and getting their approval to accept the program into the middle school and high school there in Ark City. And Cowley College actually was just really primed and ready to accept the program from the very beginning. They were so excited and moving forward at the speed of light, it seemed like. And then I know that Winfield School District, I know I made a visit to the school board in Winfield, and you know, they worked on it almost separately, but they were very determined to get that program there.
Jenny, how's it? Was this something that when you heard about it, you said right away, this is where I got to go? Or how did you get drawn into it?
Definitely. As I mentioned, our creative writing club, the members had brought up that they would like to see some kind of mental health support and that they felt peer-to-peer mentoring of some kind would be good. And so we had started looking into it about the time, just before the pandemic happened. And so then our focus also shifted, and we had to think about going online.
Oh, that, jeez. Yeah, I tell you, anybody that survived the pandemic, even if they never became ill with COVID or anything else, did not come out the other end the same way they went in. I can speak from real experience on that one, because just the mental stress that we had to endure, you know, at the health department and the employees, I'm thinking about how that must have definitely been a painful impact to a lot of kids who needed to have the camaraderie and the social structure that the school provided, and then all of a sudden here, go do this on your own at home. Did you see any kind of a spike or what did you observe during those times, and kind of walk us through to where we are today?
I definitely saw some effects of being isolated like that, and I think that we're still seeing those, but I don't really think of it as a spike in the number of students thinking about suicide or the number of students who are depressed. From what I've seen, it seems that the number has always been fairly high for this age group since I started teaching, and that the pandemic really just kind of amplified it. It made us more aware of it. Maybe more people started talking about it.
Mason, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience with Hope Squad?
So my experience with Hope Squad is that basically we've just had our lessons. And so each of our meetings would be a different lesson in the whole school year. And so like one lesson I like remember particularly is the QPR. It's question, persist, and then refer. And so the questioning is just like, hey, what's going on? Is everything okay? Are you like, is there anything I can do for you? And then the persist is just staying on top of it, making sure that you're still having a conversation with them, or you're at least making sure that they're okay until you can refer someone to them. So like maybe a trusted adult, counselor, law enforcement, just it depends on
situation. I've got a question for you, okay? Because it's been a long time since I've been a teenager. How are the other students? How are your friends? How did they perceive this? When you stepped up and said you were going to do this, you were going to become a member of this group, okay? Were they suspicious? Were they kind of standoffish? What was the student body's reaction when they found out this was coming into school?
I think it just really depends on the different friend groups that like perceive it. So like some friend groups might see it as like, oh, we don't need this or that. And then there's the friend groups that like, we need this, we want this. And so like my friend group, it's like at first they didn't really like know what it was about because it's out of Utah. And so most people didn't know what it was, but now they're like, now they see, okay, this is what it's about. Then it's like, we need this. And so I think it just was more of a matter of people needed to learn what Hope Squad was about for them to realize, yes, we need this in our schools.
So let's explain a little bit how the Hope Squad portion of it actually functions. So this is actually peer-to-peer. This is students helping other students and teachers helping students that are in the school. Is that right? Sell it to me like I've never heard about this before, because I think for a lot of folks that are listening, they probably, this is brand new. So let's explain to them what it is and how it functions.
So Hope Squad is actually a K-12 program plus college. So college has kind of their own track, especially the middle school and high school program works from nominations. So what happens is at the beginning of the school year, all the students are engaged about, hey, we have this Hope Squad program. Here's the parameters. This is going to be, a situation where students are taught specific skills about mental health, and they're basically going to be go-to kind of people, and they're going to be kind of the eyes and ears out in the student body. And each student is asked to make three nominations of people they trust, people they would go to if they're struggling. So with that list, and Jennifer probably went through that list, it's quite extensive. Because if you have a school population of over 800 times three, that could be a lot of names to filter through. The advisors who are trained in Hope Squad then come together and decide how they're going to make up the Hope Squad. So not all students are going to make it in. They have to make it a manageable group, but they want to make sure that they hit most of the peer groups within the school. So they, once they decide that this is going to be the Hope Squad, so these students that are nominated and are vetted by the advisors actually come together. They do a parent education night. So they bring the parents in, have a presentation, answer any questions they may have about the program. And then moving forward, like Mason had said, there is lessons that are taught to them. So there's basically four core lessons. And he had referred to QPR, which is a suicide prevention tool education. And that's kind of the basis of the whole program. It's recognizing the signs, learning how to have a conversation with someone who may be struggling, and then getting them to resources.
Jenny, tell us a little bit about your involvement and how all of this began and how you, what your role is, how you manage it, especially along with your teaching duties.
Well, I am one of three advisors at Winfield High School. So Cammie Hopper is one and Stephen Lenz is the other. And we meet weekly. We usually meet during Viking time, which is our advisory class. And that's at the end of the day. So we have time to go through those core lessons and the other lessons after the four core modules and do some practice with students, get them comfortable with having these conversations and with how to respond when they're presented with a situation. As far as, does it take very much out of my, It's not much extra for me. It's something that I'm very concerned about, and in a lot of ways, I feel like it takes a burden off of me to have something like this in place that I know students can feel comfortable knowing who to go to, feel comfortable talking to people. That's a huge burden off of me, actually. So the lessons are all right there in the Hope Squad advisor portal. We have all the materials put together. It's a curriculum that they have designed. So it's just a matter of looking over the lessons and preparing for them and then delivering them. We have a little bit of planning time that's required, but it's not a lot extra.
How have the kids reacted? I'm curious. You know, have they been receptive to it?
Last year, being our first year, like Mason said, they didn't know what it was about. And so they were pretty wary, I would say. They hate to be too enthusiastic about a lot of things. That just wouldn't be cool.
Teenagers, yeah.
but this year I've seen a lot of difference since we've been around for a little while now, and we have more members. Now we have 27 members. We had about half of that last year. We had more people who were invited to attend, but then some of them dropped off because it didn't work for their schedules. But this year we have 27 members and they're coming faithfully, and I see a change in the perception. I think that students are becoming more comfortable with the idea of Hope Squad and how it could help them, how it could be a resource for them.
Okay, peer to peer. Now you're in school, Mason. How's the student body? I'm not talking about the 27, but the other 770. What's the overall perception of this in the school?
I think it just, like, from my perspective, it just has, like, I don't think all the students have, like, really heard of it yet. And so I think our school is around 800 students. And so I just think Hope Squad needs to probably circulate more until, like, a lot more people have heard about it. It's just, like, that one little small group that knows about it. The other, like, 100 or something might not know it. It just needs to get to them. And that might be just like putting up signs about Hope Squad or just holding assemblies or doing something during lunch. And so I think it just needs time for Hope Squad to develop in our schools for it to be more widely known.
So what kind of activities and things, Eric, I know you've been involved with that because, you know, we do grant work and all that good stuff together. Tell us a little bit about what might be on the horizon for, you know, helping spread the word, not just at this particular school, but with the other ones throughout the county.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the components that's that was most attractive about this particular program was the positivity that it brings to the student body and the environment within the school. So I know that in Ark City, they've hosted Hope Week, and they've done at least a couple of those where they have activities that they'll do during lunch. And kind of, you know, echoing what Mason said about getting out and putting up posters and those kind of things. And I know they've done that just to spread that positivity and almost change the culture of how mental health is perceived by the school itself, whether that's the student body or staff. And so, you know, recently for Valentine's Day, our coalition purchased flowers for Cowley College and Southwestern's Hope Squad. And what they did was they made some positive messages and attached them to the flowers and passed those out on campus, which is absolutely fantastic. Just, you know, spreading kindness wherever they possibly can. But partnering with you at the health department, and we really appreciate all the help, especially with the grants. But we were fortunate to land that grant so that way we could expand those programs to Udall-Burton and Dexter and Southwestern. We also picked up Winfield Middle School. So, you know, the way it stands right now is that we have all middle schools, high schools, and colleges in our county that are covered with this program. And it's really kind of unheard of to have a consistent program throughout an entire county with so many school districts, a couple of colleges thrown in. I really feel like we're just in a really great place and we're setting a great example for the rest of the state.
Each of the schools probably do it a little bit different, I would imagine, don't they, Jenny? I mean, because what your group does with the high school in Winfield might be different than what's going on in 470 and the other ones. But if you, you know, could wave a magic wand, Jenny, and make something happen with, you know, this organization, with Hope Squad and the student body, what would it be?
Well, I think that reducing the stigma around mental health and those conversations, or mental illness and the conversations that need to happen about that, is very important. But also, I think that the mission of Hope Squad is definitely suicide prevention. But it's more than that. It is about promoting mental health and helping students to be mentally strong and resilient. And what I would like to see is for more students to feel confident in having those conversations and in seeking help and have that support to become strong and resilient.
Have you as a group seen evidence that this is trending the right direction, that the seeds falling on fertile soil, so to speak? And if so, we don't ever, trust me, I know because we're in the health department, I can't ever talk about a specific individual. But I know of situations, and I'm just curious if we've seen something like that already occur because this has been in place in the schools or in the district.
Yeah, and I can speak to that. I know of several instances that students have went to an advisor, have gone to a counselor, have gone to a trusted adult with concerns about one of their peers, somebody in their friend group, and we were able to get resources to them. To say that it's a save, that's hard to say. But we know that we've had referrals that have come either through Hope Squad members. We've even had students in the student body that are not part of the Hope Squad, that are not Hope Squad members, that have come forward because we've made that effort to get out and educate everybody how important it is to seek help, not only for yourself, but for your friends. And so, to me, we're winning that.
Good. Mason, what do you think? What I'm trying to find out, or what I'm fishing for here, is there a level of trust, you think, within the student body that they'll say, yeah, we'll go talk to a friend?
I think that by us planting this seed as Hope Squad is that we can watch it grow. And so with that, watching it grow is like the trust growing. And so if we can just keep the Hope Squad alive in our schools, that trust will just keep growing and growing until It's like a big tree, and that big tree of trust almost.
Yeah. So in your experience already as a member of the Hope Squad, have you seen that with the other, you know, the other kids in your little group that, you know, are Hope Squad members and their interactions with kids in the student body?
Oh, yeah. I think just by Hope Squad starting, I've definitely noticed how, because before Hope Squad, the environment in our school just, like, it didn't really feel that alive. It didn't feel that positive. Like, it just felt like no one wanted to be there. But then after Hope Squad started, I've kind of started seeing a trend of where more people are starting to be positive. It's starting to, like, people actually wanting to be there. And so that's just from what I've noticed.
Jenny, Eric, does this have representation in each of the grade levels? You know, this is not like a senior-oriented thing. I mean, it's all through the school. Talk about that a little bit. How important is that?
Well, we do try to have representation in all of the grade levels and in all of the peer groups, like Eric mentioned earlier. Right now, we have more sophomores than any other grade level at Winfield. I'm not sure how that fell out. When we go through those lists of nominations, we try to pick out a pretty even representation among all the grade levels. But it's who responds to those invitations, because not everybody accepts the invitation to join. So we have how many? Write it down. 15 sophomores.
Wow.
Of the 27. We have two seniors. It's hard for seniors to be involved because they have abbreviated schedules and college classes and things like that. But our two seniors from last year who returned they're very strong members, and I would say they're good leaders for our group, good peer leaders.
That's just kind of an interesting thought, I mean, to think through, because Mason said, you know, talking about planting the seed. And to me, those that were the seniors the first year, well, it probably was just something that drifted by and it didn't really take hold. And maybe so with the junior class, that's the seniors this year. So I would have thought that the underclassmen coming up would be the point where that ground where it would really start to set in and hopefully grab hold, so that year over year it becomes more of the internal culture of the school or of the district, and not just the program, because it's you're absolutely right when you said, gosh, how can we prove this? You talk about what we deal with in public health all the time. How do we prove we had an effect because something didn't happen? You know, well, I think in this situation, Eric, we can look back and we can look at the recent history, like I say, and we know the numbers, and we know how it has impacted our county as far as teen suicides, and not just teens, all suicides, you know, they shouldn't occur, but we've seen that happen. And to me, it is a reflection of success if we go, you know, from numbers of 3, 4, 5 on average per year to 0, especially in those age cohorts. And we can say, we can look back and say, well, what happened? What kind of intervention was there? So I applaud you guys tremendously for doing it. We can talk about these things forever, but I know how difficult it is to implement and then actually get it going. And so kudos to all of you for doing that.
Yeah, this sounds like a really unique opportunity for Cali County. And I love when our county is able to kind of stand out in Kansas. So that's very exciting that groundwork is happening. Can you tell us a little bit about how the community can get involved to support this work and support students especially?
You know, I've had that question. I've had people from the community approach me and say, hey, you know, we know about Hope Squad. As a community member, how can we contribute to that? And the answer is, I don't really know, other than the fact of just being educated. We might be able to have some opportunities coming up, you know, in the next year or so, that maybe we can get out and start doing some community education, especially around QPR. I would love to be able to get out and start teaching that. I am an instructor for QPR. So it's just a matter of, you know, setting those up and taking the opportunity to reach out to the community and engage them in that way. But I think that as it grows year after year, if we can sustain the programs, especially countywide, what encourages me the most is that if a student comes in as a sixth grader into Hope Squad, and they start getting those lessons from sixth grade, and then they go to seventh grade, and then eighth grade, and then they go into high school, and they do 4 years of high school Hope Squad, and then they stay in county. They have options to join Hope Squad at Cali College and Southwestern. By the time that they're graduating college, they're going to have an immense amount of knowledge when it comes to mental health. And that encourages me. And yeah, we're going to have to look into the future. But when you think about that and the advantages that our kids are going to be having being part of this program moving forward, it can only just encourage everyone when it comes to that.
We've talked about the fact that they've been reaching out, community members reach out. I know there are websites. Where can people go to find out more information about Hope Squad? And do we have anything local through the districts on the Hope Squad, on like the district webpage or things like that?
Yeah, you know, one site is the actual Hope Squad website that's run out of Utah, so that's hopesquad.com. Everything is pretty much there on that website. The Suicide Prevention Coalition has a Facebook page, but Hope Squads of Cali County also has a Facebook page that we try to share everything that's going on countywide when it comes to Hope Squad. So there's a couple avenues that people can get some
information
for.
And so those are easy to find, just Google Hope Squad Cali County?
Yes.
Okay. So that would be there. And then the other thing I will, and I'm going to throw a friend of mine under the bus, and she, well, I don't think she'll mind too much, but that's Yasmin Wood over at the Legacy Foundation, because I know that a lot of times when we take a look at programs like this, as an administrator, I take a look at, well, how sustainable is this? Can we keep this going? How are we going to pay for it? You know, it's like you got to be that way. And I know that we are in a time right now where there are a lot of opportunities for us to bring grant dollars in, and we want to help coordinate that with Hope Squad and do this for the county. I don't want our population to go without because somebody couldn't write a grant application. So we have that capacity. Allie is amazing at helping do that. But the other part of it is making sure that there are things that we have to procure from time to time. We want to have t-shirts for the kids. We want to do things in the schools, and those all cost dollars that perhaps the grants are not allowed to be paid for. And so I am not ever shy about soliciting contributions. So if people want to support that, they can, because we have, we act as the fiscal agent for that grant. But going forward, I know that we could probably set something up with Legacy Foundation, because they are and they can run it through the nonprofit side, and folks would be allowed to get like a tax break for a donation to a nonprofit that then gets earmarked for Hope Squad. So Yasmin, I hope you listen to this, because we'll probably come knocking on the door and ask for a meeting in the not too distant future to set something like that up. You were gonna say something.
I was just going to say that I'm sure Hope Squad would take some money to buy food for teenagers and young adults who don't have much money. So
that's right.
Give some money to Hope Squad.
Yeah, do that. Those things, because each one of the schools, we've got one coming up, we just had one. I think at the high school and now the middle school one, you guys had pizza. Yeah, and so, you know, that was like, hey, how are we going to pay for it? Well, the health department says, okay, we'll buy pizza. But you know how much pizza kids can eat? They can eat a lot of pizza. And so by the time you do that for all the schools, you're going to spend, you know, quite a little bit of money over the course of a year just for those things. But it's important, because I want them to have that experience. That's just so vital in all of this. We had a conversation, I at the state level, and somebody asked me, you know, about, well, how do you make this bridge into mental health, you know, from public health? And I said, public health is mental health. We cannot separate them. We can't. Your body reacts to your mental state as much as the other way around. Your mind reacts to your physical state, and those two have to be in harmony for you to be in a good place and to grow and to learn. And we have an obligation to make sure that environment is created. And I'm thrilled that this is in our county. I'm sad that we had to have that crisis for this to happen, but I'm also very hopeful because that's what this really truly is all about, hope. You know, when you lose that, it's a pretty dark place. And especially for somebody in their teens. The whole world is still out there, and I know, you know, it's not an easy road sometimes to traverse, but come on, kids. It will get better. You just got to trust, you know. So, Mason, I just want to say, hey, again, thanks. When you go back to the group, let them know about this podcast, okay? And have them listen to it and share it with their friends. We want to get the word out. We want to help you get this word out. It is so, so very important to us that people understand.
Of course. And can I add something real quick?
You bet, man.
Kind of going with that hope and losing hope, I think that Hope Squad is Hope Squad is almost like the lighthouse in whenever it's dark out. And so in the dark, Hope Squad's the lighthouse. And so you'll always see that lighthouse. Hope Squad is the light. And I think that's the key to our future.
And it's not judgmental, is it?
Oh, no.
No. I mean, because we all have days.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want days to turn into weeks and weeks to months and then months to be a pit of despair that you can't climb out of. You know, I just want to tell you and the other instructors that have decided to step up and do this how much we appreciate that. And I want to provide a light to shine on you guys, too, to recognize you for taking on the additional learning that you've had to go through, the training and all of that. And it really does. It's a great reflection, I believe, of the caring and compassionate nature of teachers in our school districts.
Well, I'm just grateful to have this opportunity, to have this resource available, and that so many people are behind it. I think it's very important to have these conversations and for students to feel comfortable having them. It's not a matter of whether or not somebody is going to talk to your kid about suicide or about depression, about mental health. Those conversations happen all the time in our high school and in our middle schools too, I'm sure. So we need to be prepared. We need to know how to deal with those situations when they arise. How do we deal with our own mental health struggles? How do we build good mental health? How do we deal with it when a friend comes and tells us that they are having suicidal ideation or that they are struggling with anxiety or depression or anything else? And that's what Hope Squad's about. It's about preparing everybody for those situations and what to say and do in them.
Eric, you have anything you want to add on?
No, not too much. I think we covered pretty much everything.
You know, we could sit around and have conversations about this, I think, for a long period of time. And to all the parents out there that hopefully will maybe give this a listen, you may not see it. You may think your kid is absolutely perfect, very well adjusted, and they are masters at hiding their emotions from you because they don't want to disappoint you or they cannot talk to you, they feel. Welcome this opportunity for them to have peers and other trusted, you know, adults that they can turn to, because sometimes they don't know how to have that conversation. In my opinion, the world has become colder and harder in the last couple of decades. And I'd like for us to go back to being a bit more of a caring and compassionate society where we don't put others down and we don't make fun of people because, man, there isn't a one of us who hasn't had that dark day, who hasn't just said, why am I doing this? The fact that the last two times we've gone through a community health needs assessment, which is going to be the topic of our next special podcast, we saw the community tell us that the biggest concern that we have as a community was the lack of proper mental health care. It's no wonder we've been seeing this trickle down into our kids and our families. So here it is. It's an opportunity for us all to be involved, for us all to become a little bit more aware, to be better educated about this. And I think to simply be kinder, you know, to really mean it when I look at you and say, Jenny, how are you today? Not just because I'm making polite conversation, but to actually ask that question and to listen for the response and then be able to do it. And I hope that's what you guys are doing, Mason. I really do, because I know that sometimes one single person can have such a positive impact on another. And you don't even know it. It could just be the smallest thing, a smile, you know.
And I think just that, doing that, just walking in the halls, and I try doing it a lot of times. It's like whenever I'm walking past people, I like try smiling at them. I try like asking, how are you? Just because I don't know what they're going through. And so that might just be the turning point for them. Like, hey, there's still hope for me. Like, I'm still getting treated nicely. And so that's what I think, at least.
And for the kids listening, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to tell somebody that, man, it stinks today. I'm having a tough time. Because really, you know, you're not alone. And I don't want them to think that. So I'm not saying that I'm the ultimate consummate professional in that manner, but I've been around it long enough to know sometimes that all it takes is just a kindness. Allie, anything that we want to add to this as we wrap this up? Because this has been interesting and powerful, I think.
Yeah, it's been great. So as we're wrapping up, I'd like to let Eric go ahead and lean into some of that forward thinking and that education for the community. And I would like him to share a final comment about one thing that he wished everyone understood about suicide.
I think if there's one takeaway, is that suicide is preventable. It is not a foregone conclusion. We as a community just need to be educated to watch out for those signs and symptoms and have that conversation. And that conversation is difficult, but it's essential. And at that point, you can then get to resources. You can contact the mental health providers and at least start that road, get on that path. So if there's anything, I would say that suicide is preventable.
Anybody else have any final thoughts or things they want to add?
Just one more thing. I wish for Hope Squad going on into the future 10 years, 15 years down the road. I want to see Hope Squad expanded, not just throughout the rest of the county, but throughout the state and the country. I think we can definitely see a decline in just like statewide rates and even our country rate of suicide.
Mason, I'm going to issue you a challenge. You are going to be one of those people that's going to go forth over the next several decades. Lead that charge.
Will do.
Okay, lead that charge. Take that torch and run with it, kiddo. You will have our support for sure. This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much. Jenny, thank you for being here. Eric, thank you. And Mason, thank you for everything that you guys do. And then any other time, any other topics, when you want to come back and chat, you guys are always welcome to come in here and join us on For the Health of It. Until next time, we hope everybody
stays well.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this edition of For the Health of It, Cali County. We hope you found it useful and that you'll tell your friends and give us a listen again during future episodes. As always, we end today's segment by replaying a recent Public Health Minute, which is a weekly radio message focused on keeping you healthy. So, until next time, stay well, everyone. One of the foundations of a healthy life is good nutrition. So today at the health department, we want to put the spotlight on one of our excellent programs, WIC. WIC, or Women and Infants and Children Program, is a supplemental assistance program that provides nutritious food, vital education, and strong support to Cali County families. By ensuring access to healthy foods, the WIC program plays a key role in ensuring that participants get the nutrition they need to develop normally. Besides these health benefits, WIC also equips participants with vital nutritional education, helping them make the best decisions for their health and the health of their families. Additionally, the WIC program contributes substantially to the community, putting over $750,000 into the local economy just this last year. WIC services are provided out of our Arkansas City office and Winfield clinics. So if you're interested in participating in the WIC program, give us a call today. Helping provide Cali County families with nutritious food is just another way the health department works hard every day to help you stay well.